right. I'm starting the show early because I feel like it. We'll see if some people join. I don't think I shared out this show today. So we'll let some people join. I'm feeling tired again from being sick. So that's the reason why I decided that I'd make the video a bit earlier than I wanted to. So if you're just seeing this, please, guys, share it out. If you're on Facebook, please make sure you share it because I didn't share it at all. And then we'll just get going. Because like I said, I'm just getting over the flu or whatever. And I started feeling a little bit more lethargic. And that's why I decided to go a little bit early because I am going to try to go to the gym today and sweat this cold off or whatever the hell it is. Because it's driving me bonkers. I hate being sick. I'm miserable when I'm sick. So we've got a couple of people on Facebook. If you guys could, please share it out. That would be nice. Craig Davenport on Facebook asked, do I have the coronavirus? You know, I'm not joking. I thought about it, but then I'm like, wait, I don't associate with people outside of, you know, my videos or the gym, and I don't talk to anyone at the gym anyway. So chances of me having the coronavirus are pretty slim, but I'm a sissy when it comes to being sick. Yeah, so I make everything worse when I'm sick. The hot flashes are the things that are getting me because I have the AC turned on to 65 degrees in the house, and you can't tell, but I'm sweating. So it's kind of annoying. That's why I'm just going to go to the gym and try to sweat it off. All right. So like Matt Love said, he's just here for the happy feel-good news. So I am going to try, and I'm going to talk about all that in this episode, and we'll go. But let me play some intro music and get started. And I am certainly not singing.
Oh, my God.
That would be nice. So today is February 26th. It's 1:32, so definitely earlier than I normally go. So we're probably not going to have the big viewership that we normally do. I will post out our phone number, so you are welcome to call in if you have anything to talk about. And then we'll just get started. Like I said, today I'm... You know, if you haven't noticed, I've been very sick. So I haven't really been writing any articles besides very opinionated pieces. You know, today's article that I put out this morning was pretty good. If I asked myself, you know, I think it's good. It's actually had like 1,500 views. So that's pretty good as well. I like that. Let me get to where it is on my website. We have a couple of news stories and a couple of things that are kind of important, I guess. I'm not going to talk anymore about... Oh, yeah. So this is it. I almost forgot what the title was. So if you guys see here, this is the article I wrote this morning. It has to do with layoffs and just things and a different perspective on the layoffs. So... The article is titled Trucking's Doom and Gloom. So that's what I'm going to start calling all these layoffs and trucking closures. It's just going to be doom and gloom, you know, and I'll spend a couple of paragraphs talking about why it's bad and all that stuff. And then I'll talk about in the same article why the industry is good and how it's, you know, looking up, whatever the case may be. So as you guys saw, there's been a bunch of, and I can only call it clickbait articles, including my own, where we're just highlighting negative aspects of the industry. We're highlighting trucking companies going under. We're highlighting crime that's related to trucking, even though the underlying factors are very important. But, I mean, we're just doing it for clicks. And again, I'm throwing myself under the bus. That's all it's for. It's just for clicks. It's just for people to sit and watch and see how many people, you know, read an article. It's sad. So I decided I'm not really going to partake in that kind of stuff anymore. And I'm going to be super critical of the companies that I am able to speak on that are choosing to do so. But, you know, there was a story that broke yesterday about Penske. Penske shutting down or filing a WARN Act notice saying they're laying off 120 people. Now, if that was a small company and 120 people was their total workforce, then, hey, I completely get it. But Penske is not. There are 18,000 people is the estimated employees. According to, you know, one media source, it's 18,000. According to different analytic tools you use to look up across the Penske network, they're at like 30,000 employees. But again, the way the articles are all read, Penske shutting down terminal, drivers not given notice, this, that, you know, just it's there to cause mass panic. And again, and I'll say it 5 million times throughout this video, I am just as guilty as everyone else that does these articles. I'm just going to take a stand and not do them. Am I going to lose readers and viewers? Probably, but who gives a shit? Those aren't the kind of readers I wanted in the first place. So Penske Logistics has 3,612 trucks and over 5,000 drivers, according to the FMCSA. Many of the workers affected by this WARN Act. So essentially, they lost a customer. Another trucking company got a customer. So Penske decided, okay, we got to shut down this facility or this warehouse and cross-docking facility that we use only for this customer. The majority of the carriers, this is what I think, the majority of the drivers for the company are going to go and pull for, you know, Penske because they have so many lanes and so many big customers and all that. So most of those drivers are going to be able to keep their jobs and all that. But the people that are affected are the operations staff, the warehouse workers, all that stuff. From my understanding of the situation, just to put some numbers into just some numbers so you understand what's going on. The amount of workers that were cut accounts for 0.6% of Penske's total workforce. That's small. I know tech companies out here that are laying off quite a bit higher percentage, but you don't hear about that. It's not big news. You hear about Starsky, you know, automation, them shutting down and laying off. And it's so hard to like censor myself. And you guys, the people that are watching it and the people that watch my video every day to make sure I'm staying in line and not saying the shit that I'm not supposed to. Because there are, you know, there's people that are just, you know, not fans of the show and they want to catch me in something. You know, I'm being good. That's all I can say. I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to be honest and just be transparent in what I do. And that's part of the reason why, I'll be honest, covering that truck stop shooting, it really hurt me. Like, it hurt me inside because I care about the industry and I hated writing about it. And as soon as I found out what the security guard, you know, did, I almost threw in the towel with this whole damn thing and went and got a regular job because it's just sad. I mean, that's what the industry comes over, shooting people over parking spots or over arguments that are, you know, come. It's just stupid. It's crazy. It's crazy. But the thing about these articles, and there's this layoff, and I think there was another one, or with Black Horse Carriers, that was one that was put out. The title is meant, you know, Black Horse Carriers shutters, and everyone wrote the same thing. CDL Life, FW, you know, Trucker News, Overdrive. They all wrote the same thing. You know, they shutter facility, lay off people. Black Horse Carriers is a major carrier. They're a big carrier. So, yeah, they had to make some changes because they lost a customer. And just to verify, there's a terminal for Black Horse where I used to keep my equipment, my trucks and stuff when we lived down here in Florida. And they have about 100 trucks there. And it's funny because they are literally, they just pay to park the trucks and trailers. Their drivers come in every morning, just grab their trucks and go. They don't have a warehouse there. They don't have a dock. It's literally just there to park their trucks. But I even drove out there yesterday because I was tired of being cooped up in the house. And all those trucks are still parked there. Or actually, a lot of them weren't because they were out for the day. But that article was shared. You know, I saw it everywhere I turned to. The original article and all the repeating articles that came were shared over 500 times. about a company that is laying off, you know, a very, very small percentage of their workforce. It's just, it's crazy. I just don't get it. Like, why are people so attracted to just the negative aspects? And just like someone said yesterday, it's not just freight. Clearly, it's all news. I mean, they talk about the debate from yesterday, which I'm sticking out of politics, but that was funny. They talk about all sorts of stuff, and they just look for the bad. If you watch morning news, it's like, hey, we have a pumpkin festival, and there are 700 shootings. I mean, that's what news focuses on, and unfortunately, it sucks. And I'm just not going to participate in it anymore. So anyone that didn't see this article that I wrote this morning, so I've got the pictures of Penske. I did use a clickbait title saying truckers doom and gloom, companies announce layoffs. And then I left dot, dot, dot. And originally when I had it, I said, it's not that bad. That was what I wrote. Trucking companies doom and gloom, companies announce layoffs, dot, dot, dot. It's not that bad. Because in all reality, it's really not that bad. That, you know, the funny thing about contracts, and like I put in here as well, what oftentimes the contracts are pulled from one company and they're awarded to somebody else. So the drivers that are usually impacted by a layoff are picked up. That's the thing about Amazon. A lot of the drivers aren't really concerned about getting laid off by Amazon because they know they're going to get picked up somewhere else. It's all the operational staff and the warehousing staff and all those guys that are simply out of job. But who cares about operational guys, right? It's kind of they kind of fall in the same spectrum as freight brokers, I'm guessing, to some of you guys. It's all about drivers. A lot of people, when if you read the comments, you know, on some of these other posts, they talk about, oh, well, that's more loads for us, blah blah blah. No, it's not. These are direct customer freight, you know, accounts. This isn't spot market shit. If you think that a company closing and losing maybe, let's just say maybe 20 drivers that choose not to, you know, go over the road or choose not to pull a different lane, it's not going to affect the spot market. We're not going to see a capacity crunch in the area. The rates aren't going to skyrocket because now there's less trucks. It doesn't work. They're working, you know, that 80% of other freight, which is direct shipper freight. They're not, you know, putting that shit on the load boards. And I think a lot of people are dumb. I mean, in all reality, I know that's hurtful, whatever. A lot of people are dumb. They get on social media and they're like, well, good thing the company closed. No, it's still sad. It's sad for the 120 people. You know, it's look at layoffs across, you know, trucking and across freight tech and across everything. There's massive layoffs going on. Too many to write about. There's a grocery chain that has stores in North Carolina, Georgia, and Florida that laid off over 1,000 people. I almost wrote an article about it just because it was so big. And one of the deciding factors for them to actually shutter these stores was because the delivery provider pulled out and said they're no longer delivering. But I couldn't find out who the delivery provider was. But still, you know, maybe that would have been a different thing. Maybe the contract was too low, so the trucking company said, hey, I'm not doing your deliveries anymore, and ultimately caused the stores to close. Who knows? But what I went on to do during, and again, I'm still, if you guys can't tell, I'm still very sick. I'm just, you know, I got grief for not making videos, so I figured I'd make one, and I'm feeling better. But the thing about these contracts is they're pulled from one company and they're assigned to a new one. The new one has to hire people to service the contract, and it's a vicious cycle that keeps turning and turning and turning. And I put also something that's pretty interesting, and I'm going to do it from now on. For every single layoff, every single trucking company closure, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to say, okay, well, let me log into Carrier 411 and see how many trucks or how many trucks filed for the authority that day, because it does show. It shows real time, and then it shows the previous day all the way up for 7 days. You can, you know, figure everything out. So the good news with, you know, and this is what I wrote in the article, and people took offense to it. Why do you want more capacity? Because I don't believe in not letting people live out their dream and start their trucking companies or start brokering or start whatever. They need to have experience and have, you know, an understanding of how it works, but it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, like one guy was like, oh, it's a capacity issue. you know, we don't want more trucks on the road. We want to, well, get off the spot market and get real freight, you know. And then you don't have to rely on capacity issues because you have dedicated freight. But then again, what do I know? You know, he tried to say, well, you're just a broker. Well, actually do your research first there, kiddo. But the interesting thing is that on February 24th, 277 applications were received by the FMCSA for those looking to file for their own trucking, or those who did file for trucking companies, paid the $300. If you think about how much money the government actually makes off these filings, that's pretty nuts too. But it was paid by those looking to start in trucking. You know, which, and here's the thing, and I put it in the article too, it more than doubles the amount of people that were actually impacted by this, you know, terminal closing, which was, you know, such a big deal. But then even if you add Black Horse to it and you add the totals, and then you look at how many companies have filed since Monday, and I don't have new updated versions from right now, but there were a total of, you know, 940, I think, applications of trucking or people, whether it's a fleet or whether it's a one truck operation, that are all looking to get into the industry. Now, keep in mind, you got to figure about half of those people haven't done their you know, pre-launch, you know, education or research. So they don't understand that when they go to get an insurance quote, it's going to be skyrocket. It's going to be high as hell. But it just proves to you that a lot of this stuff is just, it's there just to get you to read and to ingest it. You know, there's so much, man, I would love to be able to be super critical of. I mean, look at the national diesel price. That's under $3 a mile. You know? It's under $3 a mile right now. That's a good thing for trucking, right? People will be like, well, my costs are through the roof. Yeah, of course they are. I mean, because we have idiots behind the wheel. We have increasing claims. We've got people that realized, hey, I can go get hit by a tractor trailer and get paid. You know, it's the first thing everybody thinks about is just trying to get paid in the industry, whether you're starting a job, you know, a company or it's just sad. But national diesel price is $2.88. And I think there were two markets. Obviously, the West Coast was at $3.44. And I don't remember the other market. But there was only one other market nationally that was over $3 a mile. So that's pretty good. Pretty good. I wrote that. And then someone else jumped on me. Well, my cost of insurance has risen, you know, tenfold over the past 20 years. No shit. So did everything else. Called inflation, bud. That's what happens. Don't judge me for drinking from a Mets cup. I live in Port St. Lucie. That's where the Mets do spring training. I am a Boston fan through and through. It's tattooed on me. It's not going anywhere. But I love baseball, so I go to every game if I can. And here's something that, you know, there's a lot of good in the industry. If you look at DAT is predicting spring is coming early. As truckload freight, or spring is coming early to truckload freight, because rates and volumes and load counts are starting to hold steady and load to truck ratios are starting to increase, and which is showing a sign of life for vans, reefers, and flatbeds, and rates are starting to come back up. Although they didn't really dip down too low. I know a lot of people are like, oh, $1.88 a mile, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. I mean, compared to what it could be. You know, knock on wood. I think we're doing pretty good right now. It could be worse. You know, getting sniffy. All right, let me minimize that and move. But you guys should check, because I'm going to have different articles. I had a big article yesterday where I kind of talked more about freight, and I talked more about the media. And I know, because I track who's on my website and who's using my website and who's reading and where they're from, down to the city, down to the IP address. So I know that certain people were reading the article, just trying to see if there's anything they can nitpick out of it. You can't, you know, I'm being honest. I'm sorry if you don't like honesty. That's all I'm doing. All right. Let me read my intro. So you guys see right here, boom. See, I got that right on the first time by pointing in the right one. So this show is sponsored by Insurance Unlimited. for the next couple of days until the new month starts, and then I have a new sponsor for the month. But Insurance Unlimited is your number one referred total logistics insurance company. They specialize in commercial auto liability, cargo, umbrellas, general liability, brokers, contingent liability, and pretty much every other type of commercial insurance or even personal insurance you could need. They either write it or they can put you in touch with somebody else that can. Very honest company. That's why I work with them quite a bit. Really like them. They're very responsive to your needs and all that stuff. So make sure you check them out. I think the website's scrolling below. Otherwise, it's in the description. If you're watching this on YouTube, if you're watching it on Facebook, it's in the description up there. But make sure you go to the website. If you do talk to them, make sure you say that you saw it on Freight Broker Live so you're put through to the right people. All right, let's read some of these comments. Sorry, my nose is itching like crazy. All right, so Mike Timmy, he was super excited that I was back and making a live show today. Thank you for the love, buddy. And speaking of love, Matt Love in the house. I'm just kidding. Dork. Craig Davenport, yeah, I already read your comment. Kelvin Rogers said, I can't seem to book a decent load. What's going on with the rates? Well, I don't know. Rates are down. Well, they're not even that down. So it all depends. Brokers are being tight. As I expressed to my people today, rates pretty rough. You know, I talked to one of the corporate people for the company that I'm an agent for. And, you know, I said, well, luckily I have the Freight Broker Live thing and I've got other ventures that provide me enough of an income during the off season, which now is the off season, that allow me to keep going and keep making money. It doesn't seem like a lot of people have that. Freight's down for everybody. And it's not really rates, you know, from what I see on my end, it's not really rates. It's more about capacity. Wait, there's either trucks are being smart and listening to the show and saying, oh, well, we deserve more money or something. Well, let me fix this. It's screwing. If any of you guys don't know, I actually have really bad OCD, so I pay attention to everything all the time. Anyway. But yeah, it's to answer your question, I don't know. Rates are going to pick up, and it depends what your definition of a decent load is. If you're getting offered $1 a mile coming out of a location, then you best have been getting $3 a mile going in. Otherwise, it's not really an issue with the rates. It has to do with the issue with how you book your truck and how you manage your cost to operate. But without being super critical, because I don't know you, I won't. Matt Love on YouTube said, the article about dispatch companies and FMCSA's clarification sure sparked a heated debate. So yesterday I had an article where it was the daily pickups. You could find it. Actually, I'll find it because it was a pretty good article. It did tell some interesting things, you know. I don't even remember what it said. All right, so UPS is seeking trainee waivers. I thought that was kind of interesting because they want to train their CDL holders on how to pull doubles, which kind of makes sense because that's what a lot of UPS is. I'm for it. I don't see any reason not to give them that exemption. So I wrote a little article on that. You guys could see that here. If you go to Freight Broker Live, the way I just found is I went to news. I don't know why this isn't showing up. I got to fix it. But news, and then scroll down. You got trucking news, trucking crime lawsuits, and Border Watch. But if you go to trucking news, it'll show up, and then you can find the article. It's the second article on that page. Anyway, if you can't tell, I've been working on the website to try to get it to look a little bit smoother. It takes me a long time. So that what Matt was talking about is the Small Business and Transportation Coalition. And I've talked about them before. I'm not their biggest fan. You guys know that. They're actually moving in the right direction. They brought on some board of directors. They legally filed with the state of Florida to add those board of directors. And because maybe it's because I would like to say it's because I kind of blew the whistle on that and said you have to do it. Who knows? I don't really care. I'm just happy that they're able to, you know, it looks like they're starting to take steps to be a more honest and focused trade organization. Whatever. So, and I'll finish that statement after I talk about this because then, you know, so they ended up, they had this petition that they had for rulemaking for a while ago. They were looking for the FMCSA to make distinguish to amend the definition of a freight broker and a bona fide agent, because those are the terms that dispatchers use all the time. So you have bona fide agents, and that's the exemption that most dispatchers will say they don't need to have a brokerage authority because they are a bona fide agent for each carrier, meaning they have a power of attorney and they're working in the best interest. Well, the FMCSA, on the very first page, they denied the application. Now, you get a bunch of people that don't know how to read on social media that just saw that. So, and that's another thing, guys. If you read the articles or you're looking on my Facebook page and you see an article and you see a title, open it up. Because we could tell, and there's a lot of people that emailed me, the article I published this morning about the trucking company closing, inside that article, it had a whole bunch of other stuff that kind of like refuted that trucking company layoff, or it minimized the actual effect of those layoffs. But you could tell how many people didn't read it, because they'd be like, you know, just make some stupid comment. And someone commented on it, and it made me feel really good because that person actually read the damn article. You know how many times I wrote, maybe you'd understand if you read the entire article today, because you could tell people didn't read it. But anyway, so in this article, there's two pages. So I'll scroll over just so you can see. So there's two pages. Now, these are the actual pages, as you can see. It's two pages of a document sent by the FMCSA to the Small Business and Transportation Coalition. So basically, like I was saying, the reasons laid out for the denial. So as I said, they were trying to get clarification on broker and on bona fide agents as it pertains. They explained in their original petition or request for rulemaking, they expressed, because those are the terminologies, and they wanted a distinction between dispatchers and freight brokers. The response they got back from the FMCSA literally closed the door on it. It settled the whole dispatching thing. It's like, I made a video 2 weeks ago about it. It settled it, and it's in writing, except it doesn't actually, but people believe that it leaves it up for interpretation. You could tell who read it, you know, because the very first thing says it's looking for clarification in the rulemaking. Second paragraph says that the petition is denied. So people were like, well, no, the FMCSA denied the petition. That means that freight dispatchers are super awesome and they can go do whatever they want. They don't need a bond. But it's because they didn't read the rest of the damn letter. So the letter goes on and says that they don't need to change the definitions because, according to them, it means you can't do it. And they specifically said the reasons laid out for the denial are important as they clarify the FMCSA's position on the role of dispatch services. According to the letter, under the current regulations, an individual is a broker if, one, it arranges transportation by an authorized motor carrier. Clearly, a dispatcher does that. If, two, it makes the arrangement for compensation. Clearly, dispatcher gets paid to do their job. And if, number three, it is not accepted and legally bound itself to transport the shipment. Dispatchers can't do that because they are not legally bound. There's no recourse if they screw up. What are you going to do? Half of them aren't even corporations. They're just some guy sitting in his house or a girl sitting in the house. But because a lot of people use the term bona fide agent, we have power of attorney, we act as a bona fide agent for each carrier. FMCSA clarified that too. To further clarify the use of the bona fide agent, the FMCSA states that an individual or entity may not be a bona fide agent as opposed to a broker if it has discretion to allocate shipments between a motor carrier and others. Do you know what that means? If you work with more than one carrier as a dispatch service and you give a load to carrier A and not to carrier B, because you are able to choose which one gets what load depending on where they are and all that stuff, you are a broker in the eyes of the FMCSA. So as Matt said, it spawned huge, huge like conversation on social media. You had a bunch of people that didn't know what the hell they're talking about and just arguing for the sake of arguing. And then you had other people that I don't, that or just reading it and then just saying, ah, nope, it doesn't fit my narrative of what a dispatcher is. So let me do what I love to do and just make up my own version of what that letter means, which doesn't make any damn sense. So then there's another thing, you know, now there's the rulemaking. It's there. It's laid out clear, you know, clear as day, except there's no enforcement effort. So I thought what would be the most responsible, and several of you guys, because I talked to quite a few of you guys yesterday via chat on social media, we thought, okay, this is kind of a win for all the anti-dispatch services. And I'm not anti-dispatch. I just think you need to have a bond because that's what I was told and that's what I did. So everyone else should do it. But the next logical step for a coalition that has so much power and so many members and all this stuff and all this reach, it actually got an answer to something that was a big deal. What they did is, what I thought they would do and what other people thought they would do is send an email asking for enforcement of dispatch services, meaning that the FMCSA starts going after the dispatch services, finding them, shutting them down, doing whatever they have to do. But the issue is that the guy who wrote the letter, he did send a letter that said, hey, how about you start enforcing this? You just said they're illegal, so why don't you enforce it? That was on page one. Then page two was some rambling BS about nothing. Then page three was some other rambling BS about nothing that doesn't matter. It's not pertaining to the situation. And then page four was a call for them to defund the FMCSA. Remember, page one, they're asking the FMCSA to do something. Page four, they're saying, you know what? Nobody likes you. We don't, you don't serve a purpose, which I can kind of agree, you know, but I don't get it. Doesn't make any sense to me. You know, again, I always tell people, and I told him too, you got such a platform. You utilize your platform the right way. My opinion, you know, who cares what my opinion is, but that's my opinion. So that was an interesting one. And then I wrote about the Ohio House passes a bill aimed at filling truck seats. And they did mention driver shortage in the actual title. And I took everything out that mentioned driver shortage because I hate that. There is no damn driver shortage. but they passed a bill basically allowing employers to pay up to $5,000 per student to go get your CDL. So that's pretty cool. And it's up to five employees per year with a total of $3 million statewide. So it's not, I mean, too crazy, but it's enough to, you know, what they said, combat the driver shortage, to do their share. It's not really, but it's not even 100 people, but whatever, right? Yeah, that would be 5 million. So it's probably like 80 people, 80 drivers. That's not going to do it. All right. Let me read some of these other comments because we got, remember the phone lines are open, guys, if anyone wants to call in. Travis Clark on YouTube said, don't feed the hate watchers, LOL. No worries. H. David, most of those guys that were commenting before, are just they're here every day. They're followers. They're just goofy. Craig Davenport said, did I see the TA post where it says pay or get shot? No, again, that's clickbait stuff. And I can guess who did it, probably Transportation Nation or one of those other ones, because they make all those catchy pictures that are like, oh God, oh, the world's ending, trucking company closes, God. It's not how it actually is in real life, but whatever suits you. And you know what I think too, when I cover that story, you guys know, excuse me, I'm a researcher through and through. So I did my research on the driver. I did my research on security guard. I knew what had happened to the security guard when I made the live video. I didn't post out the guy's name. I didn't publish it with a catchy title, security guard kills himself. Why? Because I have respect for people. You know, all the other media outlets that did it, you guys all suck. With that said, just having respect. And you know why I didn't do it? Because I spoke to the driver several times. The driver wouldn't want me to do that. The driver was beat up over everything that happened. And all you did is you just glorified the position. All the media people, that's all you're doing is glorifying negative shit in the industry. It doesn't make any damn sense. I don't understand it. You know, I'd much rather just do my training stuff and not do the news. But then, unfortunately, nobody's gonna learn. You're just gonna have to read what the other people are writing, and you're not gonna get like a true educational like look at something the way that I do it. And half the time, the shit I say is opinionated. I know, but deal with it. Nick said, "So damn true, very, very true, buddy." Flutenpecker LLC said, "Your show is not populating on iHeartRadio. Last show was the 21st of February. That is because what was that? So that's what five last Thursday. I don't know if I uploaded Fridays, but I haven't made a show since because I've been super duper sick. This is my first day back." And I'm still sick. The camera's really good because you can't see. I'm sweating my butt off right now. But I'm almost done with a whole gallon of water. And then I'll finish this before I go to the gym. And then I'm going to go to the gym. And I'm going to bench press. And then I'm going to deadlift. And I'm going to see how much I can deadlift when I have the flu. Sounds like a great plan, right? But it's also because I haven't gone to the gym in 5 days because I've been super sick. So I figure it'll help me to see where I'm at. I think I'm getting better, so that's why I'm going to the gym. If I'm still feeling super crappy, I wouldn't be going. Mike Jamie said, Facebook groups about trucking and freight brokers is nothing but complaining and bitching. 99% of the people on there don't want to get better and improve their lives. They just love to complain. Thanks for your positive channel. No worries, buddy. That's why I do it, and it's true. A lot of people don't, or the people that have the Facebook groups are just there to make money. You know what I mean? They don't really care about the industry like they do. You know, and there's nothing wrong with monetizing Facebook. I don't think there's anything wrong with them. But you know who they are. And you know there's Facebook groups that or Facebook group leaders that are taking thousands of dollars from sponsors, and then they're censoring content on their site, on their group. And you know who they are because everyone hates them anyway. But it's just sad. And again, I could blow the whistle and all that stuff, but I'm not going to because I'm a nice guy and I don't want to stoop to that. Their level, essentially. Microlithic on YouTube asked, don't forget Insurance Unlimited. Well, I didn't. I already said it. You must have missed it. Franz on Facebook or YouTube. There he is. This guy has been missing for a while. He said, rumor has it Steve has coronavirus. Is this true? Yeah. Nope. And France. Yeah, I'm going to. France said, can we quarantine Steve? He's going to spread diseases. Yeah, I'm going to spread knowledge, buddy. And I'd like to see anybody try to come and quarantine me. I've been cooped up in my house quarantining myself. I made the wife sleep with the kids in the kids' room. Because the kids have two rooms, but they sleep in one and they have all their toys in the other for whatever reason. We have three beds between those two rooms and we only have two kids. Don't ask me how that worked. I have no idea. They each have a twin bed in the room that has way, way too many toys. And then they have a, like our old bed, a full-size bed with TVs and all that crap in the other room. With the other room supposed to be a guest room. Long story, whatever. But she's been sleeping in there because I've been sick and she doesn't want to get sick. She's a teacher. And I say, whatever, because I'm the one that got sick from you guys anyway. Flutenpecker said, why are dispatch services not considered double brokering? Well, because they're booking for a carrier. Now, if they were booking for a carrier and that carrier was reassigning it to somebody else, then yes, they would be double brokering. Because here's the thing, because I know a lot of people always forget this. So double brokering is not co-brokering. So, and here's a fun fact. Did you know that a broker, a real broker, non-asset-based broker, cannot double broker a load? It's literally impossible for them to do it. Because per the FMCSA, double brokering is when a carrier accepts a load from a broker as a carrier and then reassigns that load to somebody else, an outside carrier, hence double brokering it. When a broker gets the load, and that's a crime, by the way. When a broker gets a load from another broker, that's co-brokering because they figure that broker number one, the one who's giving the load, would do his due diligence and verify that broker number two is a broker. That is called co-brokering. It's completely legal. There's nothing illegal about it. The problem is when you have companies that are booking it saying that it's, you know, the asset-based brokers saying that they're booking freight and they're taking it on their truck and then reassigning it to outside carriers, that's double brokering. It's still, depending on who it is, I mean, it's still double brokering. To be honest, true double brokering is when there's no broker involved. So it's a broker that's giving the load and then a carrier that's pretending to be a broker. You know, so even like in Landstar's example, it's not double brokering, it's co-brokering. A lot of people don't get that and they argue about it, but, and it's semantics. It's all the same shit. It's just the way it's worded with the FMCSA that's a little bit different. All right. Yeah, I'll answer your question in a second, Joe. There was one I skipped and I want to go back. Persmall on Facebook said new companies are usually the same old companies trying to avoid high insurance rates or out of business become some problems. Go into an MC. You need backups to stay in business. I know people that have five MCs. LOL. I did too. When I had my trucking company, I had two other MCs. And it wasn't just for that. It's so I could spin off on another, you know, like, for example, I ran LTL under one MC. If I was going to run full truckload, I would run that under a separate MC number. That then, I don't know how I was able to do it, but I got all of them covered under the same damn insurance policy somehow. But they were all separate LLCs. And so it worked, but... And then when I closed the trucking company, I reassigned, because this is when you could reassign an MC number before MAP 21 and all that stuff. You could reassign an MC number very quickly and have it be active same day. So like when I closed my trucking company, I had another MC number that never did any business with, but it was active the entire time. I feel like I'm going to sneeze. It's annoying as hell. But I had a driver that I owed money to, and I said, hey, listen, do you either want this check for your money or do you want a truck? Because I wanted to keep the money, and I didn't want to work to sell the Sterling L8500 X-Conway truck that I bought because I had a bunch of them. And he's like, are you kidding? Because I owed him like $3,000 for the week or something, and then I was like, yeah, I'll just give you the truck. Because in all reality, I paid $8,000 for the truck, put a new turbo in it, and ran it for a year and a half. Never did anything besides routine maintenance or maybe a tire or two. But we ran local. We didn't put on heavy mileage on those trucks. So he took the truck, and then I said, and to top it off. And actually, I didn't just give him the truck. So I made him give me like $2,000 cash. So I ended up selling the truck for $5,000. Then I sold him the MC number because at first that wasn't even part of the discussion. He's like, well, all right, well, I'll go file for the MC. And then I'm like, you want an MC number? I'll sell you an MC number. Pay my cost for it. My cost was $335. $300 for the MC, $35 for the Bach 3 filing. He's like, yeah. So he did it, and he had to put it on like six different credit cards to pay off the $2,335 that he paid me. But we got it. We got it all set up. And you know, the kid was very smart. He registered the truck, he drove it around, he painted it, he got it clean, and he put it for sale and sold this son of a gun, and he made a dirt load of money off of it. But, and he still has that trucking company, same 870 MC number that I sold to him a couple of years ago. Same MC number, still running out and hauling freight every single day, except he just does cars. He runs like three car haulers. He's a good guy. But yeah, man. It happens. People keep separate MC numbers. And what you're talking about, Persmall, that's called a chameleon carrier. They happen all the time, especially insurance. But there's new technology that's coming down the line that they're not going to be able to scam, you know, these companies. Because before, what it's supposed to be is that you can't have an associated address. You can't have an associated contact or phone number or VIN number. Anything like that. Or I don't think they could check VIN numbers. That's up to the agent to be able to check. But now when you're quoting, because I know Progressive is working on something, when you quote with Progressive, they're going to be able to check VINs and know if you had a policy that lapsed for whatever reason, registered under the VIN, and they have all these little computer AI technology checkboxes that they're doing every time they run a quote. And so they'll know if you're trying to be a chameleon carrier. But there's hundreds of them that operate right now every single day. Oh, my nose. But Kevin Cooley on YouTube said, hi, Steven. Hi, Kevin. I'm guessing you're saying detention time money go all to the driver. Is it fair to split with the company? How does that work? No, it should all go to the driver. Again, when I was a carrier, my drivers were hourly. They weren't like paid by the mile or something like that. So no, they didn't get detention pay. They were paid by the hour to sit and wait. They didn't care. So I would get it in that example. As a broker, we don't make profit in my office and my agency. We don't make profit off detention at all. We never have and never will. It's just not right in my book because I'm not the one sitting there. I have the opportunity to make more money while they're sitting there to get loaded and offloaded. But how you have it with your company, it's kind of up to you. A lot of companies, they'll do like if you're on a per mile basis, say you make 60 cents per mile, they'll pay you $10 an hour to stop after 2 hours or something like that. It depends. It all depends on the company. Should you get paid for sitting and waiting? Yeah. Or if you're a percentage-based employee and you sit and wait and you know you're getting detention, have them revise that contract to you and you get paid for your detention as well because you're getting paid a percentage of the total rate, right? All right. So that answers your double broker questions. Joe Manella on Facebook said, can I explain this then? Big logistic company brokers a load to a broker, and then that broker brokers it out. How is that possible? Well, it's co-broker. It's the same thing. Because technically, one of my clients is a broker. They're also the shipper, but they're a broker. And they work with partners, which me, and they work with direct carriers. And then they put out freight that way. That is co-brokering through and through. You know, that's where the broker, every person in the transaction knows what they're doing and knows that there's another party in it. If big logistics company brokers a load to a carrier and the carrier then brokers a load out to a customer and they don't have a brokerage authority, then they're double brokering. But if big logistics company brokers a load to an asset-based carrier or, you know, asset-based broker, meaning that, you know, even if the broker says, you know, that they're putting it on their own trucks, it's going on one of our company trucks, going on one of our BCOs, whatever the expression may be, and then they put it out to the bid boards to somebody else or spot market or just assign it to a different carrier, it is still not double brokering. Because again, double brokering can only take place when you are brokering a load from a broker to a carrier. That is double brokering. And then that broker or and then that carrier gives assigns the load to somebody else. Everything else is co-brokering. That's why Landstar is literally the biggest name in the whole co-brokering scam. But everyone says double brokering because it's such a small, it's semantics is really what it is. It doesn't even matter. Oh, God. God. All right, here, hold on. Here's a commercial. Check it out. I'm simply.
What's a singing goat have to do with factoring? Nothing. OTR Capital. Better than the rest.
Yeah. OTR Capital. My favorite factoring company. Why is my phone on? All right. Let's see. Everyone says a coin. You can tell when people get in here late because I've mentioned the coronavirus like 6 times because everyone keeps mentioning it in the chat. No, I don't have it. I just got the flu. I'm not a social being, so I don't know anyone that's recently traveled. But it's going to be happening. You know, the CDC is alarming. And that's, I think, the coronavirus and the fact that it's, you know, impacting China in the shipping of China, not the people. I mean, thousands of people have died already. Tens and tens of almost 100,000 people infected worldwide with it. It's crazy. You know, I think the United States are one of the few countries that haven't been affected by it or haven't been. We haven't had deaths. I don't know. I could be wrong. I don't care. I mean, it sucks. It's tragic. Do I have it? No, because I'd probably be dead if I had it. I'm just sick. Because these damn kids, they got me sick. Anyway, Franz on YouTube said, "Hey, Steve, first time viewer here. Love your show, but please don't use profanity on your show. People like my wife, Sandy, might get offended." Ha ha. First time viewer. Yeah, right. Mike Timmy said, "What if a carrier picks a load and flips it with another with a broker MC?" Well, it's double brokering. If a carrier books a load as a carrier and then reassigns it to a different broker, that's double brokering, 100%. Because the carrier doesn't have authority to broker, hence double brokering. Mike Timmy said 210 Landstar. I mean, but the thing about it is Landstar, I don't see a problem with, and I was a Landstar agent, so you guys know this. I don't see a big problem with that transaction. If a carrier, if a broker knows that the load is going to go, that they're going to shop it out, why not do it? You know what I mean? I don't see the problem with it. A lot of people always look down on, oh, well, you're losing so much percentage and all that stuff. You make whatever you make as a truck driver. So you're the one who sets the rate. So if you don't pull it, you're not moving it. You know, but yeah, there are Landstar offices that do not have a direct client. They only co-broker loads. That's it. And they are big offices. Mike Timmy said, "I won't get the coronavirus, only Modelo." Ha, ha, ha. Tanya TR said, "True about Russian Landstar office. I asked one guy from their office directly if they do double brokerage, and he said yes." Again, co-brokering. But a lot of people don't understand the difference between the two. But yeah, it's semantics because they essentially mean the same thing, except one of them is illegal. Does that make sense? Because double brokering is essentially, by definition now, what we've learned from the FMCSA, double brokering is illegal. And that's exactly what dispatchers do based on that, because they're brokering without a bond. They're not actually double brokering loads because they're not accepting it from broker A and then giving it to broker B and making a, well, it's kind of they are, but they're just working for the benefit of the carrier. But the problem is you can't work for the benefit of multiple carriers because then it's no longer benefiting them, right? That was probably a little bit confusing. Oh, God. Franz, you are annoying as shit sometimes, buddy. He said, "You heard it, folks. He said that he's exposing his kids to coronavirus." No, my kids were sick first. They're fine now. I'm now sick. They were sick all last week. Don't you guys remember? I made the videos and I'm like, oh, my back hurts because I was sleeping on the couch all last week because my wife was sleeping with my younger son who is really sick and miserable because both my kids have asthma. I had asthma as a kid too. So they both have it. So whenever they have respiratory infections or they get nasally or snotty, they also start wheezing and it panics the shit out of me. So I can't sleep. I just start freaking out about it. And so yeah, I sleep on the couch when the kid's sick. Anyway. Mike Timmy said they're not giving it to Landstar drivers. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this isn't a Landstar bashing group, guys. So, you know, see ya if that's what you're going to do. I'm not going to spend an hour talking about Landstar. I see no problem with Landstar for the most part. The reason why I stopped being an agent with Landstar is because I couldn't make sales anymore. It was beat up. There's so many Landstar agents. There were too many people. There were too many agents. And they don't really have a good reputation. You know, and it's probably because of all the same kind of crap that's going in the forums or the comments here. I get it. I understand the frustration. I'm just not going to talk about, you know, any particular broker. You guys know that I don't want to seem like I'm targeting any broker unless there are bad ones. And I don't think Landstar is bad. I just think that the whole co-brokering thing is just a little it hugs that fine line of being dishonest. Is it illegal? No, because when they give credit to every single customer they have, they give credit to, their terms and condition allows them to co-broker loads. It's in their everything. It's all over the place. That's why they're able to do it. So if broker B is like, "I never give Landstar's load because they double broker everything." Well, no, again, they're not double brokering. Secondly, if you've ever given them a load, you've given them authorization to co-broker. It's in their terms and conditions in order to get credit. Nick said it's too saturated like a lot of these 3PLs. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of them do. a lot of them, it's just, and that was hard, you know, because you call anybody and they've either worked with them in the past and had a really bad relationship or, you know, this, whatever, I don't care. Fran said, blah, blah, blah. And just like Fran said, I used Landstar up until I was making a live show one day where I booked a load and the Landstar agent, a guy with an accident, refused to give me the driver information and refused to send me my Raycon back for a day and a half. And I just kept going. I kept going and I kept going. He kept doing it. And so I blocked him. We will not work with Landstar anymore in my entire office. And that's it. You know, but you know, and that's after being a Landstar agent. That's being burnt by him before, but I used to have a heavy haul guy that was super good. And I know a lot of the stuff wasn't going on in his trucks, but I know he would get it covered. So I'd give him a load. This was a heavy haul load. Landstar called, sounded like the same guy it wasn't, but he's like, hey man, I could get that load for you picked up. That's not a Russian accent, but whatever. But or Ukrainian accent, wherever they're from. And he was a nice enough guy, but he was being dishonest by not giving me the information. So I blocked him for that. It kind of ruined it for everybody else. But the good thing about Landstar is they have the capabilities as an agent to, one, you don't need a huge, huge book of business to become an agent with them. Secondly, you can make money dispatching trucks right away. It's not like where I am. We have to book freight to make money. With Landstar, you can go and be a truck broker. So you could just work on their boards with their 7,000 trucks that are empty almost every day and just find them freight. And those trucks are happy about it. But in those BCOs need it because the BCOs can't go on the DAT load board or truck stop or any of the other boards and book loads. It has to be booked through an agent. So I know agents that, you know, it's just one guy and they dispatch out 20 trucks, strictly Landstar trucks, and that's all they do, and they make plenty of money. Those are Great Wide is another one that does it like that, you know, but they don't have the best reputations. If I was going to go to another agency, I'd probably call Landstar back and be like, hey, I'm just going to dispatch your trucks. I'm not going to go and do any more sales shit or anything like that, but because it was just easy. It's easy to do. But the problem is then it gets carried away when you're doing it and then you're trying to book loads or you book a load with a broker and then you get to the truck, but someone else already booked the truck and then you're forced to either cancel the load with the broker or try to put it out on the load boards and find freight. And I didn't mess with any of that stuff. The only time we ever worked with BCOs or when we were booking our freight with them, and we just happened to have a lot of freight, so it worked. Mike said, Great White does that all the time. Yes, sir. Hers Mall said, how long have I been in business as a carrier? So I started as a carrier. So I started, what, 15? I started when I was 20. So 15 years ago. And then, you know, I had trucks and I sold the first company. And then I had money. So I didn't really do anything. And then I started a second trucking company, I don't know, 12 years ago. And that's when I really started getting serious and I taught myself the load boards. And again, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. There's nobody out here making videos like I do. There was none of that. So when I was doing it, you know, I would book freight and, you know, just from word of mouth or going out and doing sales or even sites like U-Ship when it was good way back when. And then I would go, you know, down and I'd run down to Florida. I brought a jet engine on a U-Haul trailer. Like I was one of those guys. I didn't know any good. I didn't know anything about it until I got stopped. It was probably 11 years ago, 12 years ago. I got stopped at an agricultural inspection in here in Florida. And they said, yeah, what's your DOT number? And I said, oh, I don't need a DOT number. I'm under 10,000 pounds in this. And they're like, no. Yeah, your truck is under 10,000, but that big ass trailer you have isn't under 10,000. And then they kind of schooled me. The guy didn't give me a ticket or anything, but he's like, don't pick up anything. We're going to watch you when you come out of Florida. And so I went and delivered and I drove all the way back up and got, you know, the MC number. And then I don't know how I learned about a load board, to be completely honest. I think one day I was mad about U-Ship or something. And I just typed in load board and then the DAT load board popped up and I signed up for it and I went, oh my God. And then it was like 9 months later, I had 20 trucks because that's a whole different ballgame than just trying to freelance it out. So, that's how I started, and just you know, and then I expanded into brokerage because I'm a sales guy. So I was big on direct accounts and getting direct freight, and I didn't say no to people. So, and I'll admit, I didn't know what a broker was. I didn't know I needed a different authority to broker. So I was, you know, reassigning loads and double brokering all the time. But I wasn't getting a load from a broker. I was just being a legal broker. I didn't know any better. And then someone said, oh, what's your brokerage MC? And I gave them the carrier MC. And they're like, no, that's the carrier. I need your broker MC. And I said, what? And I mean, it was probably like four loads. It wasn't big. But and then I ended up just getting the broker, or I got a freight forwarder MC number. And that's where I really took off, because then I realized, hey, I can make money without having trucks. I can make a percentage and not have to worry about a truck breaking down or a driver not showing up. Because that's what my wife hated the most, because drivers were unreliable as shit. They still are, especially when you're doing local day-to-day stuff. So I'd have a truck waiting for a driver, supposed to start at 7 a.m. He'd come strolling in at 8 o'clock. Why? Because he knows I can't fire him because I need that load to go out today. So, but yeah. Joe Manella said, Steve, I'm a carrier. I'm interested in exploring getting a brokerage authority. What advice would you give me? Either try to go work for somebody else, take a training course. That's good, you know. Yeah, and just try, you know, if you take, you know, a course like the one that I do, it's geared not to actually train you how to broker. It's geared to just give you enough that you can just have a better understanding of the industry, to understand the sales aspect of stuff and do all that. Or if you're a carrier, and lease on your truck with one of those big brokers, what with one of those big asset-based carriers. Like if you're leased on with some Joe Blow carrier, and you take your truck and you go qualify for, like, let's say Roadrunner, and you go and become an agent or a lease your truck on a Roadrunner, to tell them you want to open a brokerage at the same time, because they have broker agents. Same thing with Landstar. You can join up as Landstar as a BCO. Tell them at the very same time you want to set it up because you want to go get your own direct freight. You want to do that stuff. Universal does the same thing. They got their own trucks. A lot of those big asset-based guys all allow you to do that. And, you know, Great White, I guess they do it as well. There's a bunch of them that do it. Wesley on Facebook said, you messaged me about some good certifications. Yeah, like I said, you know, certifications are not worth shit in the industry. You can go to, oh God, I don't even really remember what it is. There's Abibiba or something like that. And then there's the Council for Supply Chain, but those are supply chain certs. But you can get those. They're not going to help you in the brokerage industry at all. The only certification, the only certifying body right now for a freight broker degree or what, or certification, is the TIA, which is the Transportation Intermediaries Association, blah, blah, blah. They do one. And you can sign up with them. But again, it doesn't really matter because it's not going to teach you how to actually be a freight broker. It teaches you the operational side of things. But the hardest part of being a broker is doing sales and stuff like that. Lizette, Carolina, you could send me an email if you want. The broker thing that I have going on, the training now, I don't like to call it a freight broker training. What I like to call it is a crash course in logistics. So first 3 weeks are spent just talking about what it's like to work in logistics, going very, very, very quick over, you know, starting a filing for an MC number, doing all that stuff. And then the last 3 weeks are just sales. So it's taught by me and other people as well. And we hammer on logistics sales because, you know, I have carriers that are taking it. I have brokers. I've got warehouse people that take it because it's different. And you're not going to get a certificate. I tell you, you got to sign something that says, hey, you understand that you will probably not get enough to be ready to go out and start on your own. But I'm honest, you know, and that's what I try to do. But you could send me an email and I could send you the link. Everything is recorded in this because I'm making a self-paced one, which will be released probably May 1st if I get it all done in time. But that'll just be a self-paced, and I'll put it at a price that'll piss every single other training bull crap camp out there. I'll probably put it for like $40 or something stupid, super cheap. It'll be cheaper than buying a book. And it's not going to do anything except give you what I know in the industry. What you choose to do with it is how you decide whether or not you do well. But you can send me an email, live@freightbrokerlive.com. Per Small said, if a carrier can screw you up by reporting to carrier 411, is there a website where the same impact? Not really. You can do a DAT review or truck stop. They'll do the broker things. But, you know, they'll do broker reviews. And I read them. Like, as a carrier, I would read them to decide, especially if it has payment issues, if you have trouble getting paid. Make a DAT review. Make a truck stop review. Hell, you know, you could probably, if you're a carrier 411 member, you could probably do a carrier 411. I don't know. I've never seen them on, because you could look up brokers. I don't know if you could do a carrier 411 on a broker. It's interesting. Broker 411. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard of that. Poncho Gray said, watching from West Virginia, went on the road in 95 with Builders Transport and was over OTR for 15 years and have been in a cubicle for 10 years. Can't drive anymore, so I've been looking into freight brokering. I mean, you've been out for a little bit, man. So that's, I don't know what you've been doing in a cubicle for 10 years, but the industry's changed quite a bit. So it's quite a bit different, especially with all the new tech and all that stuff. Oh, shit. Speaking of tech. All right. This is where I'm going to end it. Actually, I think I already said it. DAT. Did I talk about what DAT's doing? So DAT is going to release their Book It Now functionality in June at some point, which I'm pretty excited about because DAT's a good software. They're also an advertiser with us. I really like them. It's what I use when I do all my trainings because I'm very comfortable with the DAT load board. And then second thing that's really cool is their predictive rating tool is coming out at the end or at the beginning of April. I don't know the price points. I don't have specifics. I don't have screenshots, but all I know is it's going to come out. And I'm fascinated by predictive rating tools and this one in particular. So I'm super excited about that. I think it'll be good. And all you power only guys, you should look at V-Hub. Eventually, someday I'll write an article on it. Didn't do it yet. It's a pretty cool little power only thing. First Mile said, I guess the one who holds the money, the payer, dictates the rules. Yeah, I don't know what context that is, but whatever. Tyson Lawrence said, right on, or fight on, brother. No worries, buddy. Nick Differ said, with Book It Now, do you just set your minimum rate? Can they submit offers? I don't know. I have no. See, that's the thing. That's the one complaint I have with DAT is they don't release any features. Because they're still beta testing it right now with Night Swift. So I don't know. But I know you have like right load and all those things where they'll allow bids back and forth, which are coming, you know, and they're working. I've been talking a lot to the guy behind right load. I think they're onto something there. So, but it's been just over an hour, guys. I think I'm going to end this. I'll make this as a podcast. It'll be up later. Hopefully tomorrow I'll be feeling super great. So I'll be live at 2:00. I'll have my Freight in 5 and all that stuff. Make sure you go to freightbrokerlive.com for all sorts of news and updated content that I produce every day. I really enjoy seeing it. I really enjoy it when people share it because I get notifications for everything. So I really enjoy it because it shows that, you know, people and whoever the guy was that did the $50 donation last week on the website, super appreciate that. I don't remember your name, but I'm going to find out. I'm probably going to send you a t-shirt anyway, because I really, really thank you for it. It helps me. Just again, it's just one of those things that helps me realize that people like what I do. And that's it. I think 4 or 5 of you guys ordered the coffee cups. I think they're already sent out because look, I got my sticker. Except I ordered the wrong size, and the sticker's like small as shit. I wanted it for the back of the laptop, so now I have no idea what I'm going to do with this little tiny sticker. So, and it's funny because it came in a really big package, but whatever. So, but I haven't got my coffee cups yet. So, Poncho Gray, last question of the day. You said I periodically keep up with the industry, but yes, I'd have a lot to learn. Love the content. Yes, sir. That's a goal. Just keep learning. Keep on trucking. make sure that if you're just tuning in, I've got probably 100 hours of podcasts available on iTunes and Google Play and Google everything. If you guys like watching the show, do me a huge favor. Download the podcast. Subscribe to it. Leave me a review on iTunes. Don't leave me a negative one. That's just stupid. The only negative one I have, I know who you are that put that there. And so I countered that negative one with a positive one on yours. You see what I did there? I'm better than you. But I have the podcast. I've got the TV shows. I don't broadcast all of my views and all that stuff because I don't care. I don't pay for views. I don't pay for views on website. I don't pay for advertising. This is all organic stuff and off the top of my dome. I think Friday I'm recording a podcast with another podcast group. So that's in the morning. And once I find out when they're going to release that, I'll let you guys know too. I forgot what they're called. It's a PDQ America. I think it's Trucking for Millennials. As much as I hate that term, that I'll be on that podcast probably sometime next week. We're recording it on Friday and we'll see what we talk about. We'll go from there. Guys, have a good Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow.